Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper here on this 17th of February. It's Tuesday night. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. And be sure to check out the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly historical magazine. Its website is at BarnesReview.com. Well, folks, first of all, I want to thank two of our callers last evening. Bill from Ohio, who, honesty's sake, compels me to advise you, if you don't already know, that he is related to Mark Glenn. He's mentioned that here on the show. He called in last night. And also, I think it was Rick from Arizona. If it wasn't Rick, forgive me, it was somebody from Arizona. They called in to discuss this controversy surrounding the comments by Congressman Paul Kanjorski about a run on the banks that did or did not take place. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, because I got an interesting email from somebody who added a new element to the whole debate, which only confirms just what I said last evening, that you can all be basically looking at the same set of facts and have completely different perceptions of it. So in any case, I do want to talk about that later. Interesting email. I forwarded it on to Mark Glenn to let him take a look at it. Quite a few little items I want to go through with you here tonight. But one thing I do want to talk about, I don't want to beat a dead horse, because the Institute for Historical Review is very much dead. Although Liberty Lobby was destroyed, Willis Cardo and the staff of Liberty Lobby, myself included, set up shop down the street and set up an all-new newspaper with the support of many of the former readers of the Spotlight. And we also maintained publication of the Journal of Historical Review. So, not the Journal of Historical Review, but a revisionist journal, which is indeed the Barnes Review. Totally separate publication, of course. In any case, I did a whole week on that, talking about that subject matter. It interested a lot of you, probably bored the hell out of a lot of other people. Some of you may have never even heard of the Spotlight or the Institute for Historical Review prior to those broadcasts. So we always learn, not just about current events, but about the past, because, of course, what has happened in the past certainly affects what's happening here in the future, or in the current day, I should say, and the future. But in any case, I have been scouting around on the internet trying to see if there's any reaction to those programs that I did on the Institute for Historical Review. And I have gotten some very nice emails from people. I haven't gotten any emails from Murder Lovers, maybe because they figure it's a waste of time to write me. That's Mark Weber I'm referring to. Or it may well be that they just consider me such a liar and a prevaricator that they're not going to waste their time. But in any case, there have been a few points I've noticed that I think are quite provocative vis-a-vis what happened to the Institute for Historical Review back in 1993 and the destruction of Liberty Lobby. These are points that I think people need to think about and people need to address. And I'm going to cover that business for just a couple minutes, and then we will get on to current events, so to speak. But as I say, those things that happened to the Institute for Historical Review relate directly to what is happening in the news, because what's happening in the news is that the issue of the Holocaust is still being, as I predicted, ladies and gentlemen, used as a club over the Vatican, the Pope, and the Catholic Church in general. And again, we will talk more about that, because it is in the news and it ain't going to go away, no matter how hard the Pope tries to bury his sand. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. Wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance to the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Okay, as I said, I want to spend a couple minutes just reviewing a few points that I think need to be kept in mind, including two points that I didn't bring up in the broadcast but are worth bringing up. Broadcasts, I should say, about Mark Weber's failures at the Institute for Historical Review and part of his sordid record in taking over the Institute for Historical Review at the direction of Andrew E. Allen, A-L-A-L-L-E-N. Number one, it's very, very interesting that if you check the IHR website and other references on the Internet, Mark Weber is claiming credit of authorship for a report that was put out by the Institute for Historical Review entitled The Zionist Terror Network, a very interesting history of the Jewish Defense League. Folks, I could be totally wrong about this, but I don't believe that I am. My memory, which is pretty good, tells me that that Zionist Terror Network report, although it was issued without an author's name, was in fact written by Michael A. Hoffman II, who is a very well-known revisionist now, who has his own website, which many of you are familiar with. Michael's a very talented writer. I do want to have him on the show sometime. I asked him to come on the show a while ago, but he was wrapping up his book, Judaism Discovered, and it's a fascinating book, and when he has the time, we'll have him on here to talk about that and his other work. But in any case, when Michael A. Hoffman II, that's H-O-F-F-M-A-N, was working for the Institute for Historical Review, he is the one who wrote the Zionist Terror Network. And that was published some years before Mark Weber ever even came on board at the Institute for Historical Review. And now Weber is claiming authorship of that. Now, if wrong, I would like Weber to prove that I'm wrong, but I don't believe that I am. And the very fact that he would claim authorship of such a thing when he is not the author, and as I say, I'm 99.99999% sure that he isn't, raises questions about anything that Mark Weber says. Number two, I happen to be looking through an old issue of the Journal of Historical Review published in the early 90s. It was while Willis Cardo was still in charge of the Institute for Historical Review, before Weber took over. Weber wrote an article on a topic which is of great fascination to a certain slice of our listeners, this concept of collaboration between the Third Reich and the Zionist movement in Germany. Now, of course, I have expressed my opinions about that. I'm going to talk much more about it in the future and hopefully have a debate between myself and Jim Condit and possibly Christopher John Kirkness on the topic. But I'm here to tell you that I read Weber's article, which was basically a rehash, and there's nothing wrong with that, but a rehash of much of what had been written on the topic. And I was interested to see that Weber made the egregious mistake, ladies and gentlemen, of suggesting that Nazi collaboration with Zionists in Germany continued well up to about 1940. And Weber lamely concludes that it only ended because the war took place and interfered. Folks, we know that's not true. We know that it roughly ended about 1937, possibly 1938 at the latest. So although Mark Weber is a great scholar, or so we're told by Mr. Weber and some of his admirers, it seems that he fell down on that point, and I just wanted to call that to your attention, just in case you ever happen to be reading what he wrote on the subject. Now, the other point regarding what I talked about, this cannot be overemphasized. The fact that Andrew Allen was directing that whole takeover of the IHR from behind the scenes, and that Mr. Allen, this multimillionaire from San Francisco, had a history, his own admission, unsolicited, under oath, in the first deposition that was conducted of him, legal deposition, he swore under oath that he had been involved in operations delivering, or as he put it, running, then he said taking, quote-unquote, supplies to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Well, as multiple sources ranging from former Israeli Mossad operative Victor Ostrovsky and Covert Action Information Quarterly have pointed out, that was a Mossad-run operation financed by the CIA. So in other words, the Israelis were running things using U.S. money to do it. Andrew Allen was in the midst of that. That cannot be denied. Andrew Allen was tied in very heavily also with the Burmese rebels who were being backed by the Mossad and the CIA at that relevant frame. Folks, yes, yes, yes. The man who ran the IHR operation was an intelligence operative. It should be further noted, and I failed to note this because it was irrelevant to the particular discussion at the time, but a very similar coup d'etat attempt took place here in Washington, D.C. at an institution called the Confederate Memorial Association, which ran and runs the Confederate Memorial Hall here in Washington, D.C. And the longtime head of that organization, John Edward Hurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y, wrote about it extensively. It can be found on the Internet. Do a search of John Edward Hurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y, and Confederate Memorial Association, and you will find a lot of that information up there. Mr. Hurley's contention was that the attempt to take over the board of directors of the Confederate Memorial Association was part of one of Ollie North's Iran-Contra operations, which, of course, were interconnected with the arming likewise of the Mujahideen, of which Andrew Allen was a part. And so what you found, according to Mr. Hurley, was that they were attempting to take over this 501c3, the Confederate Memorial Association, for the purpose of using it as a money laundering operation for these intrigues conducted by Oliver North and people associated with all this intrigue surrounding Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan. So basically, you found the same people involved in the IHR knockover operation involved in a similar operation right here in Washington, D.C. at the Confederate Memorial Association. Interesting point that Weber's defenders, they simply will not talk about it because if they start, they can't talk about it because the facts are all there. And while there are those who just say, well, Mike Piper and Willis Cardo were lying about Andrew Allen, look, Andrew Allen brought these things out under oath in sworn depositions that are a part of the court record. Now, there are those who have been denouncing myself and other critics of Weber as liars and all this and that. Well, I'm here to tell you folks that I'm irrelevant in the big picture. But when you note the name Arthur Butz, who wrote the first great book, The Hoax of the 20th Century, the first book that received widespread distribution and recognition on this issue, he's been calling for resignation of Mark Weber for years. Dr. Robert Faurisson, the famed French revisionist, Paul Grubach, who's been active in the forefront of the revisionist movement for years, Fritz Berg, who was a guest on this show the other evening. Check out his website at Nazigassings.com. Eric Owens, a former employee of the Institute for Historical Review, who heard Mark Weber talking about selling the Liberty Lobby mailing list, if he ever got his hands on it, to what organization? The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. And who else testified to that? Not under oath, but in an extended expose of Mark Weber published by Germar Rudolph on his website before Germar went to jail. Ted O'Keefe, Weber's former associate at the IHR. Now, there have been other leading revisionists who've been critical of Weber, not to mention, as I said, Germar Rudolph and Dr. Frederick Tobin of Australia, and even Michael Santomaro of ReportersNotebook.com has raised criticisms of Weber. So, folks, you know, it's not just Mike Piper and Willis Cardo talking about it, and Willis Cardo hasn't said a word about it publicly for ages, because it's interesting, Mark Weber forced Mr. Cardo to the mat and said, insisted that Willis Cardo not be allowed to publish anything about the Institute for Historical Review in any of his publications. Yet Weber himself has still continued to publish lies about Mr. Cardo on the Internet. And one more thing I think this is important to remind you about, folks. The late Dr. William Pierce has been highly respected among white separatists, white nationalists, whatever you want to call them, whatever they want to call themselves here in the United States. And yet we had here in this program, I read to you a letter, a copy of which was provided to American Free Press by Dr. Ed Field, longtime publisher of the Thunderbolt, more lately known as Truth at Last, which is now merged with David Duke's publication. Dr. Ed Fields, very respected guy in the movement here in the United States. Dr. Ed Fields revealed that the late Dr. William Pierce had told him that Mark Weber tried to sabotage the National Alliance when Weber was working for Dr. Pierce, and then that forced Dr. Pierce to fire Weber. These are just a few questions. If you put aside everything that I said about the whole IHR affair, and just look at these things, I think it's something that has to be considered. All right, enough of that dead horse. We're going to the break. When we come back, some current events, including the question of Ken Jorski and the money market funds. Stay tuned, folks.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have extracted them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it. Not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth. 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Time is more precious than money. You could be running out of time. I want to share something with you about your body. Quote, make no mistake about it, parasites are the most toxic agents in the human body. They are one of the primary underlying causes of diseases and are the most basic cause of a compromised immune system. Dr. Hazel Parcel, PhD. Quote, we have a tremendous parasite problem right here in the U.S. It is just not being addressed. Dr. Peter Wina, quote, in terms of numbers, there are more parasitic infections acquired in this country than in Africa. Dr. Frank Nova, chief of the Laboratory for Parasitic Diseases of the National Institute of Health. As you can see, parasites are more dangerous than you think. For about $1 a day, you can rid yourself of all parasites. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Call us, 928-3080. That's 928-308-408. Life Change Tea. Make an investment in your life. And P.S. I really like it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You know, I keep saying, and I don't want to talk about it anymore, but if there is a defender of Mark Weber out there who wants to call in and defend him, come on, show some guts and do it. Anyway, the story of Paul Kanjorski. Now, I thought it was very interesting, you know, without rehashing the whole story, which Mark and I discussed last evening. We had a caller last evening. I believe it was Rick, called in and said, well, the very fact that Congressman Kanjorski said it proves that it's a lie, because Congressman Kanjorski is a politician, and you can't believe that anything that politicians say. And he suggested further, and I think I'm representing his conclusions accurately, said further that perhaps Kanjorski was leaking this story as some sort of excuse to cover up for what Congress was about to do, these bailouts. Fair enough. I can't argue with that. As I said to our caller, you know, yes, politicians do lie, and you can't always believe what they had to say. I have to say, however, I think a lot of times politicians do let things slip out because that's, you know, they talk a lot. I mean, constantly we hear people point things that politicians have said as somehow proof that, well, now they're really telling the truth, but they screwed up, and now they have to cover it up. Well, now I received an email from someone today who said, Mike, here's proof that the Kanjorski story is not true. And he forwarded me something from folio.com, which is apparently a product of the Condé Nast publishing empire, which I do believe, unless I'm wrong, Condé Nast was taken over by the Zionist Newhouse family. Now, that's something to keep in mind. Now, I could be wrong about Condé Nast Portfolio.com being controlled by the Newhouse Empire. I'm pretty sure it is. But in any case, it is a major establishment outlet. And there was the article in question is by one Felix Salmon, or Salmon, however you want to pronounce it. Last name spelled just like the fish, S-A-L-M-O-N. Felix Salmon, Salmon, whatever. It's entitled Market Movers. And his story is that, according to his estimation, looking over the whole history of it, that Congressman Ken Jorski heard something in the New York Post, which he later then talked about, or as the author puts it, he was fishing around talking about vague conversations and anonymous Wall Street friends and an anonymous newspaper and asking Secretary Paulson to confirm his, that is, Ken Jorski's, suspicions about all of this activity. Well, he then goes on to say, which naturally Paulson doesn't do because the suspicions weren't actually true. That said, however, Paulson's being polite to the congressman answer doesn't explicitly say that Ken Jorski's numbers are false. Well, I guess my point here, ladies and gentlemen, is, and I don't want to try to go into another debate about this. My point is this, that all of us, for whatever purposes, can take a look at a fact situation, that is what Congressman Ken Jorski said, and begin to speculate. Well, it's interesting because following this article, there are posted comments, and one of them, anonymous, says, "Sorry, sounds like you were manufacturing a cover story to me." And then another one says, "Always, always, quote, if they say $500 billion was withdrawn from money markets in a day, then it must have been." So the point is this, folks, you can start raising the questions as to who leaked the story in the first place. Was the congressman just spinning on things that he had heard, things that had been leaked to him, or things that he read in the paper? Is there much more to the story? I tend to think that there is. I'm not even going to pretend to tell you what the story is. I'm no financial analyst. I'm no economist. But it's just, again, as I say, there's a lot of different approaches you can take on that. Anyway, I'm not even going to pretend to know what the answer is. Well, here's an interesting story from the New York Times. China is stepping up the pressure on Christie's auction house to withdraw two bronzes from its sale of Yves Saint Laurent's vast collection next week in Paris, saying they were looted from the Imperial Summer Palace near Beijing nearly 150 years ago. Well, I'm sure they were. There's no doubt about that. Now, a lot of people out there who just don't like the Chinese, red or otherwise, will say, to hell with the Chinese, let Yves Saint Laurent, this millionaire designer's estate, auction them off because, well, he bought them. Well, the fact is they were taken from China, just as a lot of other great art treasures around from places around the world have been taken over hundreds of years by the British, that is, Rothschild Empire, and all sorts of other imperial forces at work. And funny thing about this is no one, I don't see anyone coming out and saying that it should be stopped. Other than why I'm bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're constantly, as you well know, hearing all this moaning and complaining about art treasures that were taken from so many Jewish families in Germany and elsewhere prior to World War II. All part and parcel of the demand for Holocaust reparations. A little bit more about that to elaborate when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your right and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans. To go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You know, before we went to break, I was talking about the fact the Chinese government is trying to stop Christie's Auction House from selling two bronzes from the estate of the late Yves Saint Laurent. Two bronzes could fetch as much as $10 to $13 million apiece. It's pretty expensive bronzes. Well, you know, it's interesting. Christie's says that they intend at this point to proceed with the auction. But ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine what would happen if some nice old Jewish lady living in Tel Aviv or living in Palm Beach or living in Beverly Hills said, found out that Christie's was about to auction some piss pot, some solid gold piss pot that belonged to some ancient emperor that she said had been taken or taken by the Nazis from her family or bought it. Fire sale prices when she and her family were fleeing the Third Reich. I guarantee you that Christie's would cancel that auction in a heartbeat and give that old piss pot, that solid gold piss pot, to that nice old Jewish lady. But here is a major cultural treasure from China, looted by agents of the Rothschild acting in the name of the British Empire. And it's okay. It's okay. National cultural treasures can be auctioned if they were taken in imperial ventures. But if it was a piss pot taken from some woman's family who her father may have been a black market racketeer in Germany and taken into custody by the Gestapo, because a lot of people who were taken into custody by the Gestapo in the early years of the Third Reich were black marketeers and communists. That would be a terrible thing. Again, it's this double standard that I don't like, ladies and gentlemen. Here's more of the double standard, and we should have commemorated this. You know, from February 13th to February 15th, 1945, The British bombed the city of Dresden. It was a firebombing, a genuine Holocaust. Well, 6,000 quote-unquote neo-Nazis marched in Dresden the other day to commemorate this. And they pointed out, you know, even now, the official city of Dresden or the government of Germany is saying that, well, only 25,000 civilians were killed there. What people say, the numbers were a lot greater. The way the fact that, just in the reverse, many people doubt the higher numbers of the Jews who died under various circumstances during World War II. But what's interesting, the United Press International ran a report about this, talking about the attack on Dresden and the march by the so-called neo-Nazis, saying that on their signs, that their picket signs at Dresden, compared it to Hiroshima, and referred to the Allied Holocaust bombing. However, UPI's reporter Stefan Nicola says they did not write on their posters, however, that Dresden was a Nazi stronghold during the Third Reich or that the German invasion of Russia was planned there. Now, consider that, folks. Okay, Dresden was a Nazi stronghold. Ladies and gentlemen, Dresden was a civilian city. It was not a manufacturing center. It was not an industrial center. It was largely a residential city that's biggest crime was producing very nice china, which is known as Dresden China. It was considered an art city in Germany, a cultural city in Germany. Now, I know there's a lot of people in the Patriot movement who consider the word German to be equivalent to evil, but I'm here to tell you that the murder of 25,000 people in Germany in a defenseless cultural city as this writer suggests, didn't justify what was done. And he goes on to say that the German invasion of Russia was planned there. Well, if indeed that's the case, that a handful of German officials happened to be in Dresden and sat around and planned the German invasion of Russia there, I'm not sure why that justifies the slaughter of 25,000 people, the destruction of an entire beautiful, defenseless city, a residential location. But according to this writer for United Press International, it apparently does. And of course, while 25,000 died, so they say, bottom line number, which I don't believe, but we'll just accept that 25,000. Imagine how many other people suffered physical injury, emotional injury, how many people lost their homes. I could go on and on and on. All right, we do have a couple callers lined up here, and I thank you for your patience. We'll be with you in a moment. Well, as I predicted, ladies and gentlemen, when the Vatican flinched over the issue of Richard Williamson, I said what was going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, that it would not be the end of it, and that the Jews, and yes, I mean the Jews, would continue the campaign against the Vatican. Well, this week's issue of The Forward, dated February 20th, and The Forward is a distinguished Jewish newspaper out of New York, has the headline, "The Pope Blinked." Didn't say flinched, they said the Pope blinked, and Jewish leaders assess what next. Well, it goes on and on to say that, well, the Jews are still mad at the Vatican, they should have never ended the excommunication of Bishop Williamson precisely because of his views on the Holocaust. But they also go on to say that the very fact that it was done is a bad thing and that the Pope should hang his head in shame. The same issue of The Forward features an article by Mark Weitzman of the Simon Wiesenthal Center's Task Force Against Hate. And it says that Bishop Williamson's Holocaust denial is only the tip of the iceberg, and goes on to say how really awful and evil the members of the Society of St. Pius X are. Well, the Society of St. Pius X flinched. They kicked Bishop Williamson out of his seminary. And yet they're still under fire from the Jews. They're having their heads pounded down by the Jews. And in all of these articles we keep seeing, oh, here it is. Here it is in the New York Times today. The New York Times reports, in scandals swirling over the Vatican, questions of where the Pope's focus lies. Where the Pope's focus lies. Lays, in other words, where it stands. although maybe they did deliberately include the word lies in there to imply that the Pope is a liar. And then a subheadline says, fears that Benedict's actions are hurting the Catholic Church. And then another article from the New York Times talks about how Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel, says that the Pope is going to visit the Vatican. And it says, more recently, Israeli officials and Jewish groups were among many who were outraged after Benedict revoked the excommunication of Richard Williamson. Oh, yes, I know in every Catholic church around this country, there were Catholics just screaming for the head of the Pope, saying, how dare you, Popey? Yeah, well, if you believe that, folks, you believe anything. It's just the beginning. Tough times for the Vatican and the Catholic Church, ladies and gentlemen. And while I know there's a lot of you out there who believe that really the Vatican is the secret power behind Israel and that the Jews are just the fall guys for the actions of the Vatican, I'm here to tell you, folks, that's not the case. You're welcome to believe it. But if you want to believe that too, ladies and gentlemen, I'll sell you some beachfront property in Israel. And if you want to buy that beachfront property where the Israelis spill out garbage and waste, according to Professor Norman Kanner, the Jewish American academic, if you want to buy that property from me, I'll let it go for $1 million an acre. Give you a good price on it. Yeah, folks, the Vatican is under fire. And as I told you last week in this program, a friend of mine who has been very high up in lay Catholic affairs over the years says they want to get rid of him, that is, the Pope. So it's a continuing process. All right, well, that's all I'm going to talk about for now. I could go on about a lot of other things. Let's just go to the callers. We have John in California. John, come on up.
Hey, Mike, good evening.
Hey, what's going on, John?
Warm tonight. Listen, just going back a minute, speaking of mailing lists, I heard today, and I've heard him before, you wouldn't believe who's back on, the Richard Viguerie, remember him?
Good God.
Wasn't he the direct mail king, as quoted by the Spotlight?
Yeah, Richard Viguerie is an interesting character. He's been running around for years cooking up all these P.O. box and bank account operations and soaking people for money, saying, oh, if you don't send us money now, the world's going to come to an end. And then he takes most of the money and then sends out more mailings and promises that he's going to stop all this horrible legislation on Capitol Hill. The guy's a real phony, if you ask me.
Mike, let me tell you, what I heard him, and I tried to bring him up, but I got into other things. But during the election, he was a guest on a lot of Air America's programs about the upcoming candidates and that. And he didn't say he was liberal, conservative. But this morning I listened to him on a local conservative talk show. He's now regarded as the founder of modern conservatism.
Well, I'll tell you who his primary sponsor was. A guy by the name of Marvin Liebman. Marvin Liebman was born in New York. He started out as a Trotskyite. And then all of a sudden, at some point, he decided he was a conservative back in the 1950s. This was after he worked for Israel's Stern Gang, running arms to Israel and all sorts of other funny things. And he was one of the first actual real pioneers of conservative direct mail. And he took Richard Viguerie under his wing and made Viguerie his basically successor. So
yeah, well,
that's
all
where
over
Viguerie
the map now, Mike.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's all over the map now. No matter what side of the aisle, he's found a home.
Yeah, Viguerie's now, I guess, probably about 75, maybe 70, 75 years old. He got bailed out by Sun Myung-moon years ago. Viguerie was having some real financial problems. So he had some valuable property out in Virginia, and Sun Myung-moon bought it from him for some big hefty price. That's when Sun Myung-moon was spreading his money around inside the quote-unquote conservative movement. So Viguerie has been a real poisonous influence. He's picked the pockets of a lot of good people for a long, long time. I mean, literally, what he would do, he'd set up a P.O. box and a bank account and then create some cause. And usually these causes were good causes. But, you know, he would just send out mailing after mailing after mailing. I remember back in the early 70s, mid-70s, I sent a letter to, I think, Senator Jesse Helms, a fan letter to Senator Helms. And, you know, within about 6 months of having written to Senator Helms, just a fan letter, evidently Senator Helms gave my name to Richard Viguerie. I would have my mother would get mad at me because our post office box in my hometown was filled with a variety of letters coming from seemingly different organizations. And a lot of these were just these P.O. box and bank account operations set up by Viguerie and his cronies. And they soaked in literally millions and millions of dollars and just absolutely did nothing. They didn't produce any newspapers. They didn't produce any books. Whatever victories there were on Capitol Hill were damned few, but they sure made a lot of money and made a lot of people rich, I can tell you that.
Yeah, right, Mike. Well, like I said, they're working both sides of the aisle. He's not the only one, no matter what. It's just the philosophy on each side.
Yeah, in fact, in my book, The Judas Goats, I've got a chapter on Richard Viguerie. I remember saying in there that what he specialized in doing was putting on fright wigs and scaring good conservatives into writing him checks on a regular basis. And that's exactly what he did. Richard Viguerie is one of the biggest frauds ever imposed on the conservative movement. He was always thick as thieves with William F. Buckley, Jr. In fact, I remember years ago, it was like in either 1976 or 1980, Viguerie tried to take over the American Independent Party. And as I was told by some of the people at the time, and the one person in particular, I'm not sure how reliable he is, but the story was that Viguerie essentially offered a gigantic bribe to some of the party officials if they would take him as their vice president candidate with, I forget who, as the presidential candidate. Well, they told Viguerie to take a hike, but Viguerie was trying to take over the third party movement back in that time frame, and basically he's just faded from the scene, but he's still out there scratching for whatever money he can get.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, I got one more thing, and I'll get
off. Yeah, go ahead.
This thing now another move in stand with more troops. Obama's going to send them in. I said, watch out, because they're cranking up on at least on the conservative side of the aisle now. Some new people out there banging the war drums.
You know, this is something I saw a piece on the New York Times about that the other day. It's going to be a very, very interesting to see how the people who supported Barack Obama in the name of change and sincere people who supported Barack Obama in a hope of change are going to respond when Barack Obama starts sending more and more Americans over to Afghanistan now. Very frightening.
Yeah, and one last thing. Talk about that. One of my coworkers, believe it, voted for him. Talking today, it says, we got to have a revolution. I said, oh, really? You're feeling
just,
the heat.
He just figured that out, huh?
You got it. Hey, Mike, take care. See you next time.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thanks for your call, John. All right, we are going to a break in a moment, but I'm going to go ahead and bring up Roy from Texas. Roy, we'll hold you over as necessary.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Congressman Jan Korski and what I had heard, because apart from that tube video, which Mark Glenn had brought up yesterday, there was one other place where I heard a more detailed explanation of what went on with the bailout. And ironically, it was here. It was on RBN. It was on another show.
Okay.
And the people behind it were not the Illuminati or obscure German death cult, surprisingly. But it might not also have been who Mark Glenn thought it was either. Basically, my understanding, this was on a show that I think airs in the morning. It was like I have a podcast, but it was like the Global Research Hour.
Oh, right, okay.
Called Michael Hudson. He was an economist who actually was a Wall Street analyst, and he also developed these sovereign wealth funds for China. And this was basically my understanding of what happened is with the bad mortgage debt and all this other bad debt to foreign investors, it was basically China, Russia, and Germany had gotten screwed with a bunch of bad U.S. dollar-denominated debts in their portfolios. And they got really upset, and they said, we're going to cash out. They were the ones that said we were going to have a run on the banks, or basically a run on the money markets. They were going to cash out.
Okay, Roy, hold that thought. Very interesting and quite possible. Stay tuned, folks. We'll let you continue when you come back. When we come back, Roy.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-sterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, folks, we're wrapping up the hour here. We have Roy from Texas bringing us some further information, which sounds quite interesting. Go ahead, Roy.
Yes, basically what I had heard, and this was from Michael Hudson, and I think it was on Global Research Hour on RBN.
Okay.
But or if you can go on Michael Hudson's website, he's an economist, it's going to be somewhere in the podcast section there. But basically what happened is the sovereign wealth funds for, I think it was mainly China, Russia, and Germany had been sold a lot of bad debt from the United States that they really couldn't collect on, and they basically strong armed the U.S. What they did is they told the Treasury to, what you're going to do is you're going to buy all this debt that we bought you, mortgage debt from Fannie Mae and so forth, buy it back from us at face value and replace it with U.S. Treasury bonds, or else we're going to basically cut off all our new purchases of short-term debt from the U.S. government, and your government's your interest rates will soar, and your government could possibly run out of money without turning on a printing press and just printing it, basically. So you might not be able to meet your short-term financing needs without sparking hyperinflation. So they strong-armed the U.S. government. A lot of this was already being done by the Federal Reserve off the U.S. government's balance sheet, but it was questionable about the legality of it. because it was very large, and it was being done to bail out. You'll often hear that a lot of the bailout money went to bail out foreign investors. Well, it's foreign investors who bought U.S. dollar-denominated assets. And they said, what you're going to do is basically take all these bad U.S. dollar-denominated assets off of our books, and you're going to replace them with Treasury bonds. And you're going to do this because otherwise we're just going to quit buying your bonds, and you're not going to get the short-term financing at the low interest rates that you're accustomed to. So that's, in a nutshell, that's how I can best explain what I had heard. But I heard that there was a run on the money markets and that there was a real shortage there. And the reason that you heard these rumors about martial law and so forth is if the U.S. government can't meet payrolls or so forth, or it can't raise money without paying an interest rate of 18, 19, 20%, and nobody's willing to lend it money, and they have to turn on the printing presses, then politically you'll see things destabilize. And it's not that they were forced, they were threatening martial law, but they felt that it might possibly arise naturally from political instability.
You know, I would say, I'll tell you, that was my impression, too, of that story about martial law. You know, and as I always emphasize, I know little, if anything, about finances and economics, but that was my impression of what that congressman was saying.
Yeah.
And that, in that particular case. Now, like here with this Kanjorski affair, again, now here is yet another interpretation of it. So I suppose, and I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong, but my reaction to it is that I don't think we're ever really going to know what did happen, precisely because there are all these interpretations, number one, just calling them interpretations. Number two, there might be a lot of misinformation. And number three, there's probably a lot of disinformation, deliberate disinformation up there. So,
yeah.
We may have a combination of confusion, congressional lies, as our caller last night suggested, and number three, some very high-level intrigues going on an international basis that we'll never really know who did what to whom or why. But I appreciate
the other
call.
Thing. Sure.
Yeah.
Just one other thing, if I
go
can
ahead.
Mention, is even congressmen are lied to sometimes.
Exactly. That's right. So, you know, as the old saying goes, who shot John?
Exactly.
All right, listen, thanks for your call, Roy. Very interesting.
And take care.
Sounds like it could very well be, if not the final judgment on the matter, very close to it. All right, listen, thanks everybody for listening. Stay tuned for more good programming. And remember, folks, get those business cards from RBN, $8 for 100. Spread the word. Call RBN. Get those cards. Help us make this audience bigger and bolder and brighter and better than ever before. Have a good evening, folks. Thanks for listening. With recent